stood here, we were digging deep and we were asking big questions. And I started, and I'm still struggling to get over some of the anemic response to what I started with, but I think I'm just about there now. I started with the waterproof socks. Do you remember the waterproof socks? And your very anemic response to that, just a bit like the one just now. Then we moved on to the culpable disturbance of shalom. And we talked about unoriginal sin, something that we don't often talk about so much. We were digging deep. We were asking some really big questions with big implications and big consequences. And of course, this gets us all thinking. And whenever, as a speaker, and other speakers will relate to this, when you start to dig deep and you go and sit down, you just, your periphery vision opens up and you start watching for people making a beeline for you, you know, just to perhaps, you know, to query something or to perhaps ask a question of which you've got no idea what the answer is. And as I sat there, I was bracing myself and I saw somebody approaching. And after all that digging deep, after all those big questions, they asked me, "How do you wash waterproof socks?" And it threw me. I still don't know the answer. Because of course, a waterproof sock, in theory, should repel water, shouldn't it? So how do you wash a waterproof sock? Well, it's failed, hasn't it, if you've managed to wash it? Yeah. Anyway, we won't dwell on that too much. So did you get any interesting Christmas presents this year? Come on, anybody. Did anyone get any interesting Christmas presents this year? Oh, come on. Stu? Roger Daltrey's autobiography, very interesting. Anybody else? Well, thanks for that. I'll just carry on working, shall I? Don't want to disturb you down there. Yes, they said interesting.
Three books, all the books look very interesting.
And have you read them yet?
I'm nearly finished the first book.
And is it?
Yeah.
Great.
It's the second of a trilogy.
Great. Is it Narnia? Right. So, for Christmas, somebody bought me this minute timer. And this minute timer is a little bit different to your average minute timer because it comes with a block. And under the block, there is a magnet. So when you turn it over and you place it on there, it starts to build for you. And I can show you. But it warns you not with this magnet. You've got to be very careful because it says you can smash the glass. There we go. There you go. So I'm sitting in my study asking why. But then I started to think, well, what can this timer teach me? So I'd like to share with you just a few thoughts this morning, not just about this, but this was kind of the focus, but really just some thoughts as ever when I stand here, just trying to tell the truth, not just coming here, just saying something that I'm going to forget about in 2 days, 3 days, just trying to share with you just the things that I've been chewing over the last few days and weeks. So if you like, I've got a bit of a New Year's message for you. But before we do that, let's just pause for a minute. You can stare at that if that helps. Let's just pause for a moment. Maybe you want to close your eyes, bow your heads. Maybe you want to look at the image. Whatever you choose. Let's just pause before we begin. And we breathe in. We want to breathe in truth. We want to breathe in life. We want to breathe out issues. We want to breathe out ways that can help us just to move forward in our lives. Father, will you help us? Will you help us to break down our fortresses, our strongholds? Would you give us humility to ask questions about ourselves, about you? Yeah, the start of this year, 2019, we pray that you would guide us, Lord. Amen. So first, oh, it's still going. It's in slow motion, that, by the way. First, we're going to turn to our Bibles. If you have your Bible, we're going to Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. The words are going to be on the screen here. I stumbled across this whilst driving on the M6. And obviously, it wasn't really a great place to suddenly stop the car and make notes. So I thrust my phone at my daughter, Jessica, who was the only one awake in the car at the time. And I says, Jessica, write this down. Write this down. So, why is this interesting? Well, maybe for the first time in 46 years, someone's actually explained to me what is going on with this passage, because up to that point, it had always seemed incredibly bizarre to me at best, or possibly even a little bit cruel, or even maybe very cruel. I'm just going to read this for us this morning. We're reading from the English Standard Version. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you will go. I will follow you wherever you will go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, but let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, I cannot be the only person in this room to think that this is just bizarre. I mean, Steve, a moment ago, was telling me about having two funerals in this coming week, you know, and one of those people said, but first let me just go and bury this person, and Steve said, no, you know. It always struck me as a little bit kind of harsh, and I've never really understood it until I listened to some new information that explained that this is more of a kind of almost like a euphemism, because what the person is asking, and maybe you're already there, maybe you already know this, but what he's asking is that not that his father's died and he's waiting there to be buried, and he says, please can I just go and bury my father and I'll be with you like perhaps this time tomorrow. What he's actually saying is, no, let me go back and work with my father for the next goodness knows how many years, and then whenever he's died, he'll pass on to me the inheritance, and then at that point, I'll be ready to follow you. That's what he's saying there, and that's why Jesus replied as it is. And the problem for this man is that the time is now. The time is now. I've come across this quite a few times, really, with people. You'll often say to them, maybe at work, you know, they'll find out that you're going to church and perhaps you're talking about something, and they'll say, those things really interest me, and at some time in my life, maybe later on in life, there's some things I'd like to kind of have a look at and visit those later. And Jesus is really addressing that now, to say that the time is now. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons for that, isn't there? A, because you just stand to benefit so much more by putting those things right and starting that direction now. But also, at the risk of sounding a little bit morbid, none of us know what 2019 is going to hold, do we? None of us know. You know, we make all these plans, don't we? And it can just be changed in an instant. Sometimes the time is now. But time for what exactly? Time for what exactly? Well, that's a very good question. And maybe there is no better question than this. What is the next right thing to do? What is the next right thing to do? Maybe this morning for you, that's as simple and as important as it gets. What for you is the next right thing to do? Now, of course, the answer may be very different for each one of us. And this morning, as I'm talking, I've just got a few leads for you just to help you to think and help us to think. But ultimately, I think that's a question that you need to think about yourself. What is the right next thing for you in terms of your journey and your walk for this year? So, let's make a start. Did you know that it's possible to slow down and speed up time? As you know, it's true. I've always wondered about this. Have you ever been in situations and time just seems to fly by really quickly? Sometimes you'll even be in a car and you'll go on a journey and you almost can't even remember what even happened on any of the journey. And other times, time can seem to go very slowly. It's always interested me, this, about what's going on. So I've looked it up, and there is a phenomenon. And really, what it's all to do with how much detail your brain is taking in. What's going on? And that's why for a child, time will seem to go very slow at the start because lots of things are new and the brain is having to process an awful lot. But then as we get older and older, particularly if we live in have lives that are very familiar, then we kind of less and less is new. So your brain is taking on less and less detail. So consequently, you might get to the end of 2018 and go, whoa, what happened there? That went so quickly. So it is possible. Well, there is a phenomenon here, and it is actually possible to do something about it, because I think it is possible for time to pass us by in a bad way. It's possible for us to miss out. And scientists and mystics all alike tell us to be present, to explore, and to stay curious. Stay curious. You know, we're standing in the middle of an awesome mystery, of life itself, and I have an example of that here. Do any of you shop at Lush? Oh, come on. Yes, to Lush. My wife, my daughter at the moment really, really loves Lush. And yesterday when I went to the match with Ben, to the Everton match, we dropped them off at Liverpool 1, and they went to Lush, and they've bought me this, some Whoosh. Have you anybody got any Whoosh? No? That surprises me. Let me read this to you. I will try and pronounce the words. I had to learn them last night. Whoosh. Shower, not gel. This is shower jelly. Okay, have you got it? Shower jelly. It's irresistibly onomatopoeic and packed full of verve wobble and zing-laden organic lemon. Shower jelly, a boisterous bundle of fresh citrus juices and seaweed to help you bounce back to brilliant. I'm not letting you have any. Oh man, I'm going to be so brilliant this year. And it's all about this. On a more serious note, we are standing in an awesome mystery. You just, no matter how many times you've been with a newborn baby, you hold that newborn baby or get close to that newborn baby, and it's like, whoa, life, there's just something incredible, isn't there? You know, what we think is our intelligence center, sometimes I just think we need to learn to let go. You know, we can't fully understand the atom, the galaxies, you know, what's birth and animating all existence. And the appropriate response before this mystery is humility, I believe. And if we resolve that we want to go into this mystery, and I hope you do, you know, not to somehow hold God and reality, but to somehow try and let God and reality hold us. So maybe this year for you, it's time. Maybe this year for you, it's time. I'll turn this over. To be present, to explore, and to stay curious. You know, things like the Alpha Course we talked about this morning is fantastic, absolutely fantastic. But people, the Alpha Course is just the start. The Alpha Course is just the start. The Alpha Course is the way in. And once we've done the Alpha Course, whoa, it's just like this opens up to so much more. There is so much more for us. Be present, explore, and stay curious. So I'm sat at my desk, turning this timer over and over again. And just noticing this whole dynamic of emptying. Of emptying. There's this kind of natural flow that when you turn it, it tips down. You turn it back, it tips down. And I think in life, it's true, isn't it? That there is, if we're functioning well, and let's be honest, we know when we're functioning well with the people around us, there is this natural flow of giving ourselves away, isn't there? In the Bible, it talks about how Christ emptied himself and gave himself away. And that's the pattern for all of us, isn't it? So let me ask you a question. How is your flow right now? And that's not a medical question. How is your flow right now? Do you feel kind of somehow sucked in, bunged up? Just feel like nothing's flowing? Or do you get that sense of flowing? Do you feel like you're defending? Or do you feel like you're freeing and opening out? I have a postcard in my study that my wife bought me years and years ago. And it says, to love and be loved. And as Richard Rohr says, we really were made for love and loving. And outside of this, we die very quickly. You know, in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world. And you know, the word for world there is cosmos. Our word is rubbish, isn't it? For God so loved the world. But God so loved the cosmos. Wow. This is a big product, big project. And of course, we receive this love. But the plan is, that's only the start. The plan is that we give out. But it's not always that easy, is it? Maybe there's a necessary rhythm in life that we need to get to those points in our life where we learn to let go of whatever it is in us that is saying no to the flow. Wondering this morning, what in your life is saying no to the flow? So maybe this morning it's time to decide, you know, how that flow, or just think, be purposeful about that flow. How are you going to give out this year? How are you going to be emptying yourself this year to the people around you, to your family, to your children, to your community? Or maybe first you need to ask the question of whatever it is that is saying no to the flow. So back to the timer. Let's turn this again. Are you still with me? I haven't got a long message this morning, just a few things to think about. Turn it over. Shall I put it in the middle so you can see it a bit better? Sorry, guys. Let's go over here. There we go. When I flip that over, life can be like that, can't it? We talked about ripples before, Jeff. You prayed and you talked about ripples. Have you ever had an uh-oh moment in your life where suddenly life just goes, whoa, turns over? Sometimes circumstances can do that to us, can't they? Health issues can do that to us. Issues with relationships, issues. Someone can just say something to you, can't it? And suddenly, whoa, it's like your life has just been tipped upside down. Maybe in your faith and in our beliefs, we have uh-oh moments, don't we? Where suddenly there seems to be so many holes in what we're thinking that that it's just too much and we just have to stop. And we just need to really work it out. We can't ignore it anymore. If you have a Bible, I don't have the words on the screen, but I'd like to read from a passage that you may never have heard preached from in the front of a church. Psalm 88. O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry, for my soul is full of troubles and my life draws near to Sheol. I am counted amongst those who go down to the pit. I am a man who has no strength, like one who once set loose among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave. I'll skip a little bit. You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions of dark and deep. The dark and the deep, your wrath lies heavy on me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves. When was the last time you heard this preached from the front of a church? You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a horror to them. I am shut in so I cannot escape. My eyes grow dim through sorrow. Every day I call upon you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you. Do you work the wonders for the dead? Do the departed rise up to praise you? Are your wonders known in the darkness? But I, O Lord, cry to you. In the morning my prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? Afflicted and close to death, from my youth turn up. I suffer your terrors. Did you hear that? I suffer your terrors, and I am helpless. Your wrath has swept over me. I don't think that's on week one in the Alpha course. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dreadful assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. They close in on me altogether. Together, you have caused my beloved and my friend to shun me, and my companions become darkness. Full stop. Wow. Oh, my word. As I just say, this isn't a chapter readily read out in church, and maybe rightly so. But have you ever asked yourself the question, why does this ancient Jewish faith, of which this first half of the Bible, the Psalms, is a part of that, why did they choose to write that down? And not only that, why did they choose to keep that and treasure that? Amazing. You see, what if these uh-oh moments are actually profoundly important? Because they get our attention like nothing else. What if they actually serve a purpose? Because they break things down. What if these moments are an invitation to deepen and grow in our faith and our understanding? Now, I am not saying these are necessarily orchestrated. But what if they do break down our fortresses? maybe personally a harmful trajectory where you think everything's fine, but quite frankly, it is not, and you need to be stopped? What if it breaks down a safe religious space that has a false sense of control and is actually preventing you from growing? What if the key to all of this is to enable our uh-oh moments to become aha moments? What if the key, what if that's a key to life, that somehow your uh-oh moments can be transformed into ah moments? Well, that's not easy, is it? That's not easy. But who said anything is supposed to be easy? Because clearly it's not. You know, when settled life becomes unsettled, our life narratives become unsettled, and nobody likes that. But as Richard Rohr would say, what if the main way to grow is to fall upwards? What if the main way to grow is to fall upwards? So maybe this morning for you, for who knows what's going to arrive in 2019, I hope I'm not depressing anybody here, but maybe this morning you feel like that. Maybe some of those questions, you know, we were singing a song, I wrote it down on my phone, it's by my chair, in your presence all my troubles are washed away, and I'm thinking, well, clearly not for the person in Psalm 88, you know, and I'm not saying we shouldn't sing those songs because there are other songs that tell another story. But maybe that's some of those feelings is exactly how you feel this morning. And you're having an uh-oh moment. And I would say to you, don't panic, because the key is that your uh-oh moment can actually be transformed into an aha moment. And I would almost argue, or I think I probably would say, that without those moments, I think I create walls around myself. I think I make things very safe for myself. I think I make things very comprehensible for myself. And I need things to be broken down. And the last one. Could someone turn the timer over? Go on, Richard. Do the deal. Don't break it, mate. I won't mention Coldplay because it could all go wrong. Richard hates Coldplay. That was an in-joke, sorry. You know, Richard, I put Coldplay on this morning, I'm sorry, and Jessica walked out of her bedroom, and the first thing she says is, Dad, why do we have to play this depressing music? And I thought of you. I thought of you straight away. She'll go far. We talked about the flow before. I generally believe the story of God is a people, God and his people is never static. It's never simply about just repeating the past and repeating it at all costs. I genuinely believe that there is a movement. There is a movement. Letting go of the familiar, embracing the unfamiliar. But that's about trusting God, isn't it? But of course, we have faith in God, not faith in our beliefs about God. Did you hear that? We have faith in God, not faith in our beliefs about God. You see, faith in the Bible is a who word, not a what word. Faith is a who word, not a what word. And when we have faith in our beliefs, we can get into all kinds of weird and less than wonderful places. We'd start to defend these beliefs. We start attacking people who don't have those beliefs. We start getting defensive when people start saying things that don't, because we're defending our beliefs. We have faith in our beliefs. But listen, people, I don't have faith in my beliefs. I have faith in God. I have faith in God. And I put my trust in God, the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And learning to trust God is a journey of great courage and humility. And we're all taking steps forward in our lives and our faith, and different steps, different ways, different for different reasons. But like this timer there, each movement, I think, can have a centering that as we move from the familiar to the unfamiliar, that's what I like about that timer, and that's what really struck me, is that that magnet at the bottom means that as it's free falling, there is that sense of, although it's kind of, it can look incredibly messy, but there is the sense of centering somehow. There is a sense of structure. There is a sense of someone underneath all of that, just keeping things in the right shape. You know, I think part of this is perhaps trusting our God experiences, our God moments, even if they don't seem very intellectually sound. You know, the Bible is full of all kinds of weird and wonderful stuff, so why should it stop there? You know, and sometimes things happen to us, and we explain it to someone and say, oh, you know, how come God's just giving you money for that loaf of bread when all these people don't have bread. And yeah, I get it. But maybe we do have God moments that can't, you don't need to explain, that are there for you to guide you and help you. Do not dismiss your God moments. Because maybe sometimes the only thing we need to do is have those moments, and our job is just to show up and say yes. Just to show up and say yes. So maybe for you this morning, it's time to put your faith, your trust in God, not your beliefs about God, and invite him to shape you through those movements from the familiar to the unfamiliar in 2019. So I'm pretty much done. Do you want to invite the young people back to take communion? I'm just going to pray a prayer, and then maybe the band want to come forward. I hope that's been helpful for you this morning. But let's just pray. Because we're not done, really, are we? Because it's only January the 6th. It's only just begun. So may we understand what is the next right thing to do, and that the time is now for the next thing, whatever that may be for each one of us. And may we not let time pass us by, but rather may we be present, may we explore, and may we stay curious. And may we engage in the flow of loving and being loved, and learn to let go of whatever it is within us that is saying no to the flow. And may we have the courage through the uh-oh moments of life and learn how to fall upwards. And may we know what it means to put our faith in God, not in our beliefs, and follow wherever God leads. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, grace to you and peace. Amen.